Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board. And there's something about this episode, episode 111. That kind of, you know, all those three numbers. But how is everybody doing? I hope you're doing well. We've got a great show tonight. It's going to be an all-NFL show. We are going to talk politics and sports. Now, what Points on the Board is, for the new viewers, it's the intersection of sports and politics. But granted, I don't always talk about that simply because there's not always politics intersecting with sports. And this week there is, but it's been a very big NFL signing. Look, for those that don't realize it, at one time I was seen as one of the preeminent fantasy football players in the nation. I dominated, baby. I was good. I sold the business and got out right before the advent of daily fantasy sports. I'm not a big fan, only because I have an addictive personality and I would not want to be involved in playing in DFS, and it's a big problem. I believe CBS is getting ready to have or had just had a special talking about the dilemma of gambling. You know, my libertarian partner here would sit there and say, well, that's everybody's decision, but human nature is what I live off of. After traveling to over 30-some-odd countries, being born and raised in a different country, you know, I have realized human nature is stronger than anybody's philosophy or ideology. Those are sets of beliefs that are artificial, meaning you have to teach yourself. You have to drive yourself to be that. And I have yet to meet a libertarian who lives the libertarian way of life to its fullest. And so that's my issue when people when my friend says something like that, is it's just an impossibility. But that said, the reason I'm saying all that is I know what I'm talking about. I still follow football, and I'm not here to give you inside information as much as to give you some common sense with some of these free agent signings. Excuse me. And at the end of the day, I hope you tell me in the comments whether you agree or don't agree. Today was the first day of free agency. And as I told my NFL team that does a podcast every Tuesday night, the Blindside Blitz, they're doing one to cover the big free agent signings. Most of the big signings happen in the first day, you know, or you hear about who is going to sign where, and they're still hashing out the final details. And there were some big ones. There were some big ones. We're also going to talk about a few signings that may have happened the other day. So let's get right on to it. Actually, before I do not forget, you can find this podcast and others like it. I do a conservative political podcast, and I also do culture, entertainment style podcast. Both of those podcasts deal with politics and how they affect our country. Politics is downstream of culture, so my Red, White, and Rouge show talks about that a lot. So you can find that, and make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us, and you're probably watching us on one of these outlets: YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora. Yes, I am Latino. And I used to never really care if people knew who or what I was until Democrats started to play a political game. And I was like, hey, that's it. Hold on, baby. Not all of us are bleeding heart liberals wanting a handout across the border. But I digress. Okay, let's get to it. Probably the biggest signing and the biggest open secret is Sam Darnold inking a $100.5 million deal to replace Geno Smith in Seattle. It's a three-year, $100.5 million contract. It's $55 million is guaranteed, with most of it front-loaded in year one. He obviously signed the contract, yes, today, after Seattle traded Geno Smith to the Raiders. The pros of this, look, he's still young. He's only 27, younger than Geno Smith. He's coming off a Pro Bowl year with 35 TDs. He has a higher ceiling and long-term potential, meaning he still can get better. See, that's the thing about him. He went to the New York Jets, where you go to die. He went to the Carolina Panthers, where they have been an abysmal mess for the last 6, 7, 8 years. And then he finally went to the Niners. Got a good deal there in terms of relearning his basic fundamentals. Then went to Kevin O'Connell's QB-friendly offense in Minnesota and thrived under, again, solid tutelage. You know, some of the best coaches for quarterbacks are failed quarterbacks. And Kevin O'Connell is not a failed quarterback. I'm talking about they weren't able to cut it in the NFL. They just didn't have the talent. you know, to be at that upper level. So they become great teachers. That's very common in the NFL. So he has that upside heading into Seattle. Seattle seems to have a good game plan there. That team was competitive last year. I think Geno Smith they did not think he could take him any farther. They traded him, got a draft pick for him, and they signed the guy they wanted right afterwards, who is much younger with greater upside for the same price. So it is a team-friendly deal, $100.5 million over 3 years. It averages about $33.5 annually. It's below the elite QB rate, but he's only 27, and it's a three-year deal. Is that what I said it was? Yes, it's a three-year deal. So he'll be hitting the ripe young age of 30, and if he maxes out that contract, meaning he plays up to what they expect, he's going to get an even bigger one for another 3 years. So the ball is in his court. He's being paid, but not being paid upper tier echelon, so he still has something to strive for. So he is known for a deep ball prowess. He led the NFL in 20-plus yard TD passes. Doesn't hurt to have Justin Jefferson. And he pairs pretty well with Clint Kubiak's play-action heavy system. And that's what he needs. Look, he does get a little dancy there when that blitz is coming, but 99.9% of quarterbacks do. Even Patrick Mahomes, when that blitz was getting to him in the Super Bowl, we saw what happened. They crumble. You need a good offensive line. So we'll see how that plays out. Some of the cons, he was shaky in big games, folded under pressure in clutch moments against the Lions. They brought the house, and the offensive line had no way to stop it. So what you saw with him in the Lions in that playoff game is no different than what Patrick Mahomes saw in him. So I believe he can learn from that. He's got to get some mental toughness, a good mentor, a good quarterback's coach. Clint Kubiak, I believe, will be able to do that. You know, now, here's the downside. Seattle's offensive line ranked 26th in pass blocking, and they just lost wide receivers DJ Metcalf. Damn it, I'm forgetting my names here. And Metcalf is somebody that's a big target. So that is a massive, massive, massive blow to him. DK Metcalf, yeah. That's a massive blow to him because he really needed that help. And he had Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. He had so he had a receiving core in Minnesota. So we're going to see what happens. Free agency has still started. They're probably going to look at that and upgrade that position. So he's a boomer bust risk. Hot 2024 season is just a small sample. We got more poor seasons. So his earlier career struggles, that does rate it in the formula, how he ended the season those past years in this lower echelon tier contract. Is fantasy play? Look, at this point, I would look at him as a second-tier QB. You want to draft him as your backup, see what he does. Because we don't know about that offense versus the Minnesota offense. I was right. DK Metcalf joins the Steelers. A game changer or a gamble? So, the Seattle Seahawks traded wide receiver DK Metcalf to the Steelers in exchange for a 2025 second-round draft pick. Great pick. Great pickup. Look, he signed his new extension with the Steelers for 4 years, $150 million, $80 million guaranteed. And that kind of is at the high end of the wide receiver market. I would never have given him that deal. He's a bit injury prone. And at the end of the day, receivers are rare. I mean, look at Tyreek Hill. How many Super Bowls have the Dolphins got through? How many deep playoff runs have they made? None. Wide receivers are dependent on their quarterback. They are supplementary players. They are not the A-game stars. They need a quarterback to help make an A-game star. And that's not a knock on Metcalf. That's just a knock on the reality of what you should be paying these receivers. I mean, they're going to have issues again with salary cap. You see, the salary cap issues is what constricts teams. Now, they may be able to hide it, but when it comes to depth, the NFL is a league of attrition. You need some money and some salary cap to pay for high-quality depth. And deals like this kind of don't allow for that. So it's a big risk on a team saying we're going to hope we can stay healthy, and that rarely happens. There's just teams all over the NFL with situations like that. So pros of the signing, instant offensive boost. Size, speed, 4,200-plus career yards. He's a legit – I don't want to say legit true number one, but he's bordering on that. Now, the downside is he's with Pickens. So, as a pair, it's going to elevate their passing game from middling to high end. I wouldn't say elite yet because, you know, I'm not sold on Pickett's brother talk, you know. So his ability to win contested matches, that's catches. That's what I love. You know, they're talking about not bringing Russell Wilson back. I think that's a mistake. I think that Russell Wilson has a great deep ball, and he DJ Metcalf and him could thrive. I don't know. Maybe they're – I don't – they should – I don't know if they know each other in terms of if he was gone by the time they were there. But that said, it's going to make the life easier for the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, whether it's a veteran or rookie. If it's a rookie, he's screwed. I don't get what they say. It's not a great draft this year for quarterbacks. And I tell you what, and Sanders, that kid, if he sits there and takes that many sacks as he did in college, he's not going to last halfway through the season. So Steelers Nation gets a dynamic playmaker, and that's going to boost morale and ticket sales. Now, some of the cons. Obviously, I already talked about it. Overpaid for him, $150 million is a hefty investment, people. And it could strain the cap if Metcalf doesn't mesh with the offense or if injuries like his past knee issues flare up. There's also pairing two alpha receivers, Metcalf and Pickens. You know, Pickens is that wannabe alpha, that wannabe elite receiver. But he's actually nothing but a second-tier receiver who's the best on his team and has a big mouth and gets the press because of that. But at the end of the day, he'd be number two on many other teams. And now, then we also have to talk. This is a play action team, which I think is great for, again, Russell Wilson, you know, second season under there. But they really need to get a pounding game, a stronger rush attack. And I'm sorry, they didn't have it last year. They just did not have it last year. I think they were less than 4 point yards a carry. And when you cannot pound that team in the second half and your whole offense is built around a play action, you're going to struggle. And that's what happens. And the Steelers are a run heavy team. So we'll see how all of this fits properly. They also lost a second round pick, but at the end of the day, they more than made up for it with DK Metcalf. All righty. Oh, let's see here. Let's see who is next. I'm just looking at my notes here. Ah, here we go. All right. Next on the list. Oh, yeah. Devontae Adams. He joins the Rams. This blew me away. I was like, holy mackerel. This is a game-changing move. Contract details, 2 years, $46 million, $26 million guaranteed, $12 million signing bonus, $8 million base in 2025, 18 in 2026, $6 million roster bonus, 26, $1 million annual incentives. So he's got a nice deal. Very, very, very nice deal. So he was traded mid-2024 from the Raiders to the Jets, and then he reunited with Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, he just has not been the same quarterback since he left Green Bay. Green Bay was a built-in system with a quarterback in Rodgers at the time who understood the system, understood the players inside and out. Rodgers went to a different team, got injured, never got his footing. At the end of the season, his numbers weren't that bad in New York, but the chemistry was completely off. The confidence was completely off. Everything was off, and it showed with a very terrible season in terms of winning for Aaron Rodgers. So they jettisoned him, and they jettisoned Devontae Adams, who was having a terrible season. I think Devontae Adams has peaked, you know. But he was 854 yards, 6 TDs, and they're attributing that poor numbers in 11 games with everything I just said. So the Rams are looking to replace Cooper Kupp, you know, and because my first thought was like, okay, why get rid of Cooper Kupp if you sign him? Well, easy. Cooper Kupp's no longer durable. And they think Cooper Kupp has peaked, and they obviously don't think Devontae has. I think Devontae has peaked from the elite years. He may still give you number one numbers, but he won't give you numbers worthy of that contract. That's just a bottom line. They're going for broke this year in L.A. So he is an elite receiver, 957 catches, 103 TDs for his career, and he does boost the Rams' offense with Stafford and Pico Nakua. So he's also a California native, goes back home, you know, so he's going to be happy to play at home in warm weather. Some of the cons, he's 32. The durability is going to come. The speed issues are going to come. Hamstring injuries, sidelining for a couple games. It takes longer to heal. Once you get a hamstring, you're more susceptible. $26 million guaranteed is risky if his play declines. And I do expect his play to decline. Don't get me wrong. This is an upgrade. He will help that team. But for that much money, no, you overpaid. But I do like the signing. I just don't like what they paid. Justin Fields lands with the Jets. A fresh start. Wow. Woo. 2 years, $40 million, $25 million guaranteed. Fields flash potential in Pittsburgh, 66.2% completion, 10 TDs in 2024. The problem is you couldn't trust him to follow the game plan. He wants to improvise, and when he improvises, he kills you. You know, he was traded from Chicago, but the Steelers moved on. They were looking to sign him, but the Jets pounced on him because the Steelers – I think the Steelers really don't know what to do. I don't think they were infatuated with either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. And my issue is not that. It's the coaching. Look, there's a trend in Pittsburgh in the second half that consistently died for the last 6 or 7 years. They've lost like – they have streaks of losing records in the second half, and that's on Tomlin. And maybe his talk wears thin by then. Maybe he's pushing the team too hard during practice. I don't know. But the team has a history of just flailing and falling apart in the second half season. And so blaming Russell Wilson is the wrong person to blame. He's an easy scapegoat, you know? But anyway, the Jets post Rodgers see him as a dynamic asset. And let's give some proper due. He did improve. Maybe he is the next Sam Darnold. My issue, well, I'll get to that in a second. Some of the pros first. He's a very, very athletic quarterback. 4,079 rushing yards so far in his career, young career. So he's clearly a dual threat. The problem is he looks one. Read number one. No, I'm not looking at read number two. Read number one. Oh, he's not open. I'm running. That's the problem with him. He needs to learn how to become a quarterback. This becomes a racial issue when it's not racial. He just needs a mentor who's going to teach him, dude, you don't run first. Your career's not going to last. You're not going to take us to the – big dance, because at the end of the day, a quarterback has to be able to throw deep, throw accurately, throw consistently, and then use your legs to break the big play open. I mean, Cam Newton could never hit the side of a barn, and that ended up costing the team. The team went to the Super Bowl, not because of Cam Newton that year, the Carolina Panthers. They went because they had an elite defense. They went despite Cam Newton. It was a Super Bowl that year against the Broncos that were two elite defenses playing two quarterbacks who couldn't hit the side of the barn. By that point, Peyton Manning was done and shot, and everybody knew it. So he could be the next Sam Darnold there. At 26, he offers upside as a bridge or long-term option. And the reason I say that is if it's a friendly contract. I think, what did I say, it's 2 years? Yeah, it's 2 years. They can move on from him. Now, the cons, he's inconsistent. 62.2% career passer, the Jets do not have a great O-line, so he's going to be running. And if he throws, it's a situation that's not best suited for him. He was so desperate to be a starter, he took a bad deal. But at the end of the day, in his defense, that may have been the best deal to be a starter. So, look, I'm rooting for the kid. I actually like his gutsy performance. I just wish his attitude would dial down. And if he could become humble, then he would most definitely become the next Sam Darnold. But his personality traits is what bother me. And so we'll see how that goes. My other issue is $20 million is a lot of money if he's just a stopgap, but it's still under the bar, so I'm not going to complain about that too much. What I will say in his defense and the lousy situation he's going to, Aaron Glenn is untested as a head coach. We don't know the decisions he's going to make. He's also defensive-minded. He may not look at the offense. He should, but may not look at the offense as well. Somebody mentioned that, hey, he may have looked at the legs of his, seen that offensive line, seen how tough it is to cover a dual threat. Well, they've covered Justin Fields for a few years now, successfully. So I don't buy into that, but there is some truth to that. But what I feel for him, and I'm sure somebody talked to him about this, they said, Justin, quarterbacks and head coaches go to the Jets to die. So statistically, the odds are against them, but God bless a young kid, and let's hope for the best. All right, here's something that happened during free agency. Josh Allen, $6 million deal. The Bills QB. Excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Sorry, my producer got the notes wrong. And I sat there and should have whacked that one. Okay, moving on. T. Higgins, tagged again. The Bengals wide receiver stays put. So, he was franchise tagged again for $24.1 million. He's a 1,000-yard receiver, 2024. Look, 1,057 yards. He gets tagged for the second straight year as the Bengals prioritize Jamar Chase's mega deal, leaving him in limbo. So, what are the pros here? They retain 1,000-yard talent for Burrow's prime window. He buys time for a long-term deal with a proven wide receiver, too. The cons, look, second straight tag risks alienating Higgins. I don't see it. But who wants security? And look, I'm sorry. Don't give me this garbage. Once you get that 20, look, he's still got 20. He's worth $25 million after this season. He has lifetime security. So just stop it with that nonsense. So at the end of the day, his agent should be telling him, hey, look, this is a business. They like this guy better. If he thinks he's better than that guy, so be it. You know, but it's $24 million cap hit. Here, again, is my problem with the receiver getting this much money. They had no defense. They had no offensive line. Joe Burrows, oh, man, you see, he almost brought him back into the playoffs. Look, he would have gotten crushed in the playoffs. Once you're in the playoffs, you better be hitting on all cylinders. You know why they lost the Super Bowl against the Rams? Outside of the quarter, the referees giving the Rams the game. He didn't have an offensive line. That simple. Did not have an offensive line. And it's going to be the same old story. So you're going to see mediocrity from the Bengals team, but you see a lot of shootouts, but a lot of mediocrity. All right. Myles Garrett did get a new deal, defensive end for the Browns. And only the Browns. Only the freaking Browns. My partner, Big John, was trying to tell me, look, this, they should have done this, should have done this. And he thinks I'm pushing back. And I'm saying, stop, I agree with you. It's the Browns. That and Garrett's a cornerstone player that's seen as being a Brown. And if they trade him, it's like we're rebuilding and they're stuck with Deshaun Watson, you know, and they're like, so everything's failed. They can't look like a failure. They got to keep trying to win with Watson still there, or they will look the fools, despite the fact they already look the fools. 5 years, $135 million, $70 million guaranteed. Had 14 sacks in 2024. He is a beast. Look, did he play the trade rumors to get this new deal? I'd say so, because at the end of the day, greed took him over. If he truly wanted a championship ring, he would have said, trade me, I'm sitting out. But no, show me the money. Show me the money. And I'm not blaming him. But I'm like, don't pretend you're this noble beast wanting to get a ring, and then you sign for ungodly money. You know, so he but that said, that's what the Browns felt they had to do. And again, the Browns are idiots, as they always have been, as they always will be. I have never seen a more poorly run franchise in my lifetime. I don't think I think they had success there when Marty was there, and just Lady Luck just did not want Marty to take that team to the Super Bowl. And so outside of the Marty seasons, they maybe had a touch here or there playoffs, but that's it. That's the only time they were ever a threat in my lifetime. And if I'm correct, that may have been, what, the 80s now? 90s? 80s? Late 80s, maybe? Either way, though, Myles Garrett is a defensive player of the year caliber player. 103.5 sacks in his career. And they've got him locked in through age 34. I'm going to tell you now, he's not going to be producing those numbers at 34. But he anchors Cleveland's identity amid QB uncertainty, meaning the defense is going to have to carry this team. $27 million a year cap hit is going to handcuff roster depth. And we've already seen what happens. And that's what's going to happen to them again. And there's a post-30-year age decline. And that's a risk for such a large commitment. Ah, yeah, it's disgusting what the Cleveland Browns do as a team. All right, we all know Saquon Barkley got a $41 million extension. So it was 4 years, $41.2 million, $25 million guaranteed, the highest paid RB in NFL history, $10.3 million per year. Why did they do this? They didn't have to. I wouldn't have, but I applaud them. They want to reward their players. This is one of those it's not business. It's taking care of a guy who brought us the Super Bowl. You know, he had a 1,300-yard 2024 season, post-Giants move the year after. So they feel he earned this extension. Well, that's not necessarily true. They paid him all this money for the year he had. Did he have a year above and beyond? Well, that's why you have incentives. You see what I'm trying to say? So as a business, I'm the general manager. I would have restructured it to give him a slight bonus to reward him, but I wouldn't have given him what they did. Not at all. This is going to handcuff the team. But I am absolutely thrilled for Barkley. I hate the Eagles, but I was rooting for them hard because of Saquon Barkley. This guy bleeds football. He bleeds camaraderie. He is the epitome of a role model. For all you who have your little kids wanting to be this player, that player, have them be Barkley. Pia role model. Sounds like a great human being. So as a business, I'm the general manager, I wouldn't have done it. But as a fan, I'm like, God bless you, Saquon. You earned it. I'm glad to see you're finally getting your due. He's hoping this contract opens the door for other running backs. It won't. So they're saying $10.3 million a year resets their RB market fairly. Maybe so. I think that's what it was set at, maybe a couple million lower. But let's be honest, $10.3 million a year, that's Barkley than everybody else. It's still going to remain the same because everybody sees who and what Barkley is versus the rest of the league. Now, he does have a bit of an injury history. He's missed 24 games since 2018, and that will threaten his value in the missed time, and that's where depth comes in. So there's also an RB decline post 28 years. He's 28 now, and that could hit him mid-deal. So he peaked. He maybe has one more season, but traditionally – running backs tend to have a down year the following year. And I guarantee you they're going to have a Super Bowl lapse or I forget a super – there's a term used for this in terms of running backs after they hit 2,000 yards. And I see the same thing happening for him. But we'll see. And God bless him. I love the guy to death in terms – he's just everything you want to see in an NFL player. So some under-the-radar or bad signings. Kenny Pickett to the Rams. He was traded from the Eagles for a 2025 fourth-round pick on a rookie deal. $14 million, 4 years, $2.6 million in 2025. The kid got his ring. He saw a few plays. He can actually, in his mindset, he contributed. What did they do at practice and all that? They're part of the team. They're just not on the field. But that said, he's a 2022 first-rounder. Went from the Steelers starter to Eagles backup behind Hurts, obviously, before the trade to Cleveland. And they need QB stability beyond Watson. He'll be a stopgap, or they're going to see what they have with him. And I got to be honest, I don't see much happening that's any good here. I don't think he's NFL quality unless he's got a great mentor and he'll be a QB manager. We'll see how much he learned in Philadelphia. So, excuse me one second. Woo, sorry about that. I had a bug. Oh, my nose is itchy. Okay, so the pros, it's a low-cost reclamation project of a first-round pick. He's not really a local kid from Pitt alum, but close enough, I guess. Some of the cons, he's mediocre, and his ceiling is that of a backup. It's a crowded QB room. Watson's there, and, you know, he's still going to be their guy when he comes back, if he comes back. But at the end of the day, all this does is add another middling QB to the mix. So let's see. Okay, let us get to Geno Smith to the Raiders. Again, this happened a week or so ago. So he was traded from the Seahawks for a 2025 third-round pick. He's on the final year of a $75 million three-year deal, I believe. I think they just re-signed him to a big deal. Let me check that out quick in my other notes here. Okay, no, I am incorrect. He has not signed a new deal. Maybe he's looking at I don't know what he's looking at here, but why he would turn that deal down after he's peaked and that they ended up giving Sam Darnold is beyond me. He had a 2022 breakout year, 4,300 yards. He saw a slight dip in 2024, and then he was traded. Look, he's peaked. I think we've all seen Geno Smith can only take you so far. And God bless him. He's a reclamation project himself who has maxed out. Kind of reminds me of Vinny Testaverde. So I think he needs a team around him. He's a manager. I put him on – now, the numbers may not show this and some of the gaudy stats because he has such a long career playing as a starter from the get-go. But behind one of the best teams in modern history, and that's Troy Aikman and Dallas Cowboys. When Troy Aikman would be called upon to win the game or carry the team, he couldn't. He relied on Emmitt Smith and a strong offensive line, strong defense. He was a game manager. Geno Smith is like that. So if he could get a team around him, he could do the same thing. People are saying, what you talking about? That's an honest to God's ugly truth. Troy Aikman is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. He would not lose you a game, but he could not carry you to a win. And we saw that happen. So, the reason I bring that up is the Raiders are in a rebuild. I think they're looking at him as a complete stopgap. Unless he blows the windows off of everything, they're going to move on. Or maybe give him a deal much less than that. So, maybe he's banking on himself, you know? you know, I can't find it in my notes, but it's like I thought I saw maybe they're looking at giving him a $30 to $45 million extension. You know, it would be wise to actually give him an extension. I'd give it less than what Seattle's going offered, and here's why. They said he turned it down without a counter offer. I would do that for one reason. The year he's likely to have is not going to be pretty. So they may be offered, they may be waiting till later in the season and say, hey, we'll give you this much. Because they need a stopgap quarterback there for the next two years to build, find the pieces to rebuild the Raiders and hopefully get their potential starter and literally train him up, you know. So I think Geno Smith did himself a disservice by not re-signing with Seattle. Again, let's look at some of the pros. He's a proven starter. He does stabilize the QB mess. He is an upgrade from what they had last year. And it was a cheap trade cost for a one-year bridge. Some of the cons, it's a one-year rental that limits long-term planning. And his recent dip does hint at regression risk. And as I have stated, I believe he has peaked. All right, here's an under the radar. And that's Zach Wilson to the Dolphins, backup or bust. Look, 1 year, $4.5 million guarantee specified. He had a roller coaster career, benched by the Jets, traded to Denver, was a backup in Denver. I think they traded him. He wanted Sean Payton, wanted to see what he had. Once he got his guy Bo Nix, he threw Wilson to the wayside. But there are a lot of analysts who saw him, scouts who saw him, and say, no, he still can play. And the reason they say that is, again, the Jets have not developed a quarterback. Going back to Richard Todd or Brian O'Brien, you know, they had those two, Richard Todd and O'Brien. And, damn it, what's his name now? You got me wondering. Let me check. Ken O'Brien, that's who we're talking about. And we're talking the 80s, Richard Todd and Ken O'Brien. Okay, I forget that they had Chad Pennington. But Chad Pennington, yeah, they did. But they didn't develop him. Chad Pennington was a product of his own studies, his own teaching, his own will to succeed. That was not the Jets. He knew his limitations. He was like Bernie Kosar, could just sit there and ball. So they got lucky with him. But pretty much QBs go there to die. So and Sam Darnold, Joe Flacco, when he went there from the Ravens, yeah, he was terrible. Left there, all of a sudden he found his groove again. So that, and it sounds silly to say that, but it's kind of, the data is there. So I will give him the benefit of the doubt. So I want to see what will happen here. So he's obviously had a roller coaster career, but now he lands in Miami as Tua Tagovailoa, his backup, and we know Tua. So first of all, the pros here, he's a low-risk flyer as a former number two overall pick. He's familiar with the AFC East defenses. The cons, he did struggle in New York. But he's only 25. And a one-year deal screams, I need my shot here, and I'll take what I can find. And he picked Miami because he knows Tua's going to go down. I mean, somebody's going to go like this. Boop. No, I'm not making fun of him, but the guy should not be playing football. I worry for Tua's long-term health. You touch him, and it's like paper. That last concussion, the guy didn't even really touch him. And that's what was so damn scary. So I'm hoping to see Zach Wilson in action and see what he has this preseason to see how he looks. And here's the final caveat I'll tell you about him. The head coach. He's got a great quarterback guru. A great quarterback guru. Mike McDaniel is a great quarterback teacher, mentor. So I think if he can't make it in Miami, he can't make it at all. There you have it, my friends. That is my take on some of the bigger signings in the 2025 NFL free agency. And I love talking football. It used to be my life. I used to be football 24/7. I was one of the premier fantasy sports football players. I was an insider coming along the lines of Florio Glazier and all that. But my job was to build a business, and I did. And then I sold it while those guys wanted to be part of the industry. So we went down different paths. And, you know, I was never the insider type. But, man, my company – those player news formats, my company created that format. Well, it's about the same time as RotoWire. You know, I'm not going to sit there and steal a lot of the credit, even though the click in that industry wants to do that. I'm like, no, SA. You speak the truth. We were the first fantasy analysts on the NFL Network, one of the first fantasy companies to be seen over the air. We were the first fantasy sports company to be featured on an NFL pregame, CBS NFL pregame. It was quite the ride, I'll tell you. Anyway, this is my new gig, Grumbly's Media, because I am a political beast now. As a conservative Latino, I've had enough. I've had enough of the woke left trying to tell you this, trying to tell me how to live my life, what God to preach to, the God of government, no señor, you know, how to raise my kids. You are really a girl, William. No señor. You get my drift, people. Okay, everybody, let's get down to the final whistle. And the final whistle is where I give my lightning round of takes. So, let's not waste any time here, my friends. Take number one, the final whistle number one, police blotter. Broncos coach arrested. This took place about 2.5 weeks ago. Broncos assistant coach Michael Will Hoyt. He was arrested for allegedly punching a cop. And then on top of that, he took a taser hit and kept swinging. he's facing felony assault charges and decking the Denver officer outside the airport. This happened again February 23rd, 2025. He posted his $5,000 bond. Look, I mean, you got to give it to the guy. Take a taser hit mid-flight. Now, what happens? We don't realize if you don't get hit right with the taser, you can actually not get knocked out because you'll see some people go, oh, boom. And some people keep fighting. It's how they got. There's a certain way you got to get hit with that for it to fully work. So it's not as that boom you're going down as the dumbasses in the public assume. But he was showing wild defiance. Details on what caused it, the incident, are murky, murky, murky. Alcohol is suspected, though. Look, they got to punish this guy for his own good. And I don't mean fire him or anything like that. Make sure that he gets punished so he learns. Because what's going to happen with former NFL players, he's a former NFL linebacker, is when they are not punished, they're going to do it again. They've been brought up in a world where nobody's told them no. So, and this is experience talking from talking to agents, former players. So I hope he gets the help he needs so this doesn't happen again. We all deserve second chances. But if he gets fired, well, he's got to learn from that, too. The final whistle to police blotter. Can't get out of the police blotter. Xavier Worthy arrested. Oh, this one hurts. Chiefs rookie wide receiver Xavier Worthy's arrest for reckless driving. You got to be kidding me. Pulled over March 8, 2025 in Kansas City. Over 100 miles per hour in his Dodge Challenger. Reckless driving, released $1,000 bond. No drugs or alcohol were involved, but it's just a bad look after the incident last year. Trying to think. Last year. I had to look down at my notes here. It's Rashee Rice. I forgot. Who was that guy? You know, again, he should get just maybe a fine or something like that, but these players, they are going to kill somebody. We saw that already with the Raiders kid. You know, these morons think they're invincible, and they don't think of the other life they may take. This happens again. They're going to reference the Raiders situation. And it's going to be a tougher punishment on this guy because there's already an example of the following not doing. They're doing it. All right. The final whistle three. Some baseball talk. I really talk baseball. Jarrett Cole down and out with the season ending. Tommy John surgery. Oh, this hurts. Yankees ace Jarrett Cole's Tommy John surgery ends his 2025 season. Second straight spring with elbow woes. Gonna have surgery. He's already had surgery surgery this week. But the MRI showed a torn UCLA from a rough spring start. 6 runs, 2.2 innings pitch. Probably had a slight tear in it already. Out 12 to 18 months. And that obviously affects New York's rotation. At 34, the 2023 Cy Young Award winner, just 2 years removed, faces a long rehab. I think he's done. So he's lucky these contracts are guaranteed because he's seen his last big deal. So they're going to pivot to Max Fried. But then there's a post-Soto exit year. I mean, it's like one hit after another. Hope for his full recovery, but he'll never be the same. The final whistle number four, Washington State Bullets straight girl. For choosing Washington State bullies a straight girl for choosing not to play against a team fielding a man. So a teen girl's refusal to play a volleyball team with a trans athlete triggered a bullying probe. With the nuance that the state's framing flips the victim narrative and says the straight girl is the bully here because she didn't want to play on a team against a man. How pathetic can we get? I hope the federal government steps in. I really do. She opted out of a match February 27th. She's citing fairness, and she's right. She's right. So Washington State launched an investigation into her for bullying the trans player. I tell you what, I hope she gets a lawyer and counters. See, these leftist pigs, they this is them bullying her. They're bullying her so no other player will dare come out. That's what their goal is. Her stand has parents and conservatives and the government. I'm sure the government will rightfully look at this situation. And funding, they're probably toast, done. Final whistle number five. Big-time leftist Martina Navratilova pissed at his conservatives defending women from men in sports. Look, she's an idiot. God bless her, one of the greatest tennis players of her era. I think she would have smoked the Williams sisters. She was just like the perfect specimen. she was Eastern European. So she rages at Democrats for not blocking males and women's sports. This vote happened last week, where every Democrat voted against a bill that would not have allowed, would have codified in the law, men can't play in women's sports. And then she makes every excuse for why the conservatives are doing it. And then why we're evil in every other spot. And I get it. We don't have to align on everything. But she's just a freaking moron. And not only are we tired of her on the conservative side, the left is tired of her. It's like, pick a side. Stop being an idiot, Martina. You are a stupid, foolish idiot at this point. You're not naive. You're not ignorant. You're stupid because you can see in front of your eyes all their policies. It's not just one, but you refuse to. So when did she do this? She did this last week, March 4th. She blasted the Dems for voting down the bill to keep biological males out of female sports, calling it a betrayal of fairness. You know what's a betrayal? It's you to yourself and seeing how policies are really affecting you. It's not just this one policy. You know, she's a tennis icon of gay rights. And Martina, we don't care about gays. We just don't want you to shove your crap down our throats. You know what? When I see two heterosexuals all in public, I'm like, dude, get a room. I don't want to see that. So that's what I think with the heterosexuals. What do you think I'm going to think, Martina, at a gay pride parade when there's a man giving fellatio to another man? Yes, it happened. San Francisco gay pride. Then turns around and urinates on him. And they're telling everybody, bring your kids out. Bring your kids to a family-friendly event. That's what you support, you nasty. I'm going to stop right there. Final whistle number six, Tua Tagovailoa. He's called out by bigots, more bigots, and likely racists for playing chess with Trump's grandson. So Tua faces hate for playing chess with Trump's grandson, which is Ivanka's kid. The bigots are targeting an innocent family moment. So photos from March 2025 show Tua teaching Ivanka, Trump's son, chess at a charity event. Fans call him a traitor. Move over to Trump ties. They slam his MAGA pandering. It's just a QB being a dad. His kid was there too. What a pathetic, disgusting excuse. That is the left. Let's not forget, my friends, the left. Chose an illegal alien murdering Americans over Lakin Riley, who was murdered. They chose men in female sports over all women's sports and supporting a woman who a kill shot paralyzed her temporarily and gave her brain damage. And then they refused to support a kid who wants to be a cop who was honored by the Secret Service. Instead, they honor their military industrial complex donors to keep the war in Ukraine going. That's who these people are who were chastising Tua for a family moment there. Because, again, his kid was there. Final whistle number seven, racist David Dennis Jr. of ESPN plays a race card against American hockey team. This happened a couple weeks ago. So ESPN's David Dennis Jr. calls NHL passion racist compared to NBA. No, we just see people who actually care about their sport over people who constantly whine. The NBA is so bad, even the media whines about how bad it is. But, oh, Dennis, who got the job because of DEI, there's no doubt. That's a fact I'm stating. I'm not, and it's not me just saying it to say it. They hired him for a reason. I forget the reason. It has some kind of family relations and civil rights movement. Hey, there's concern in here. You know. So this happened, again, this past March. You know, he claimed NHL players' grit, the fights and intensity gets praised while the NBA stars get flat. It's white bias. No, it's called patriotism, you moron, you racist piece of dirt moron. Hockey fans and ex-players torched him online, arguing passion isn't racial. And that's my whole point. This is, only racists see race when there is none. I pointed it out because I'm like, boo, why are you being a racist? Why are you being a racist? David Dennis Jr., I had to look you up. You're so useless and irrelevant. But I always report on news and sports and politics. And this is sports and politics. And is it a shock he's an ex-Bomani Jones protege? They gave that guy every shot, but nobody wants to watch a racist. Nobody wants to watch somebody talking about or spewing on racist this, racist that, when it's not true. That's Bomani Jones. Every show got canceled. Whack. Final whistle number 8. The WNBA Angel Reese and Jonai Carrington state players are ready to go on strike if not paid more. So they're threatening the WNBA strike over pay. They believe they should be paid as WNBA players. Reminder, with Caitlin Clark last year, everything jacked up on steroids, viewership, arenas that Caitlin Clark played in, ratings, and they still lost $40 million. And they're saying players might walk out in the 2026 CBA talks if salaries don't jump. She wants what we deserve. I don't think so. The owners are still losing money. They're going to draw a line eventually. A couple of owners have already started complaining about it. Attendance soared up 48%. 2024, but the $40 million was still lost. Now, that attendance did not soar because of Angel Reese. No. Let's be quite honest here. Nor did Jonna Carrington. It was because of Caitlin Clark. Period. End of story. Every analyst, everybody who studies this will tell you that. The only people that won't are the league, WNBA women themselves. Final whistle number 9. Damn deal collapses to have UNC Tar Heels football team with Bill Belichick on Hard Knocks. So a deal to feature Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels on Hard Knocks fell apart. And it's the NCAA rules kill the hype. They barred the in-season show, the NCAA did. And Belichick's college debut was set to be a TV goldmine. HBO and UNC wanted it, but red tape acts a chance to see the GOAT coach unfiltered. Final whistle number 10. Stephen A. Smith signs a new deal. Hey, congrats to Stephen A. I don't care for him. He's a hardcore Democrat who pretends he's in the middle. He plays a race card because it's a multi-billion dollar industry. He knows who his audience is. He knows how to pander to his audience. I just don't fall for it. You know, but God bless him. He brings in the ratings as low as they are. He's still the best of the worst. And yes, they are not great ratings when you look at yesteryear's past. Yeah, he got a $100 million extension. 5 years, $20 million a year. He stays as ESPN's loudest voice after months of haggling. He whines that the deal took too long. And it adds podcast and production perks to his deal. But I got to be honest. Is this shit worth it as ratings dip for the Hot Take TV show? They're going to go like this. So we'll see. We'll see. But God bless him. That's American capitalism at work. So I'm happy for Stephen A. Smith. I really am, because he earned it. As much as I don't like him, he is in the news. He is ESPN. He is the face of that network. Final whistle number 11. Why LeBron James went off on said Stephen A. Smith. So we know LeBron James saying, please, for the love of God, LeBron, your boy sucks. As a father, take him off the court. He sucks. Well, Stephen A. Smith is actually absolutely right. And Stephen A. Smith is not the only one saying that. You know, so LeBron hit back at him, and it was on video, you know. So at the end of the day, he's like, you don't go down the road of me being a father and what I'm doing. And Stephen A. Smith came back and said, look, he didn't come at me as an NBA player. He came at me as a father. So I respect. That shows how smart Stephen A. Smith. You think Stephen A. Smith wants to say that? No. Stephen A. Smith about 100 pounds lighter. He wasn't saying anything. When LeBron was in his face, he was pissing his pants, and he knows it. So all he could do to save face was to pretend to go, yeah, father, I can't say anything back about that. Well, you shouldn't have said anything in the first place if that's how you truly felt. But it shows how good Stephen A. Smith is, like a politician. However, he did get destroyed by Candace Owens. I'm going to talk about that probably here next week. Anyway, final whistle number 12, Draymond Green disses Anthony Towns, then refuses to apologize. This one blew my mind. Draymond Green's an idiot. Look, he disses Knicks car Anthony Towns' toughness by saying he didn't show up to play because Jimmy Butler was on the Warriors at that point in time. The poor guy was dealing with a death in the family with somebody with cancer. And Draymond Green refused to apologize. I mean, how low can you get? Look, I'm going to say this. When something bad happens to Draymond Green, you're going to see people all over the place celebrating, right or wrong, because this guy has no feelings, no heart. He's Cali. He's a bully. He's the type of guy we're going to read about 20, 10, 15 years from now. He's broke. He's going to end up with not any friends. He'll have an entourage, but he won't have friends outside his family. He really needs to look in the mirror, and he never will. He never will. And there you have it, folks. That is the final whistle, and that is Points on the Board. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please make sure you like and share this episode. And do not forget to bookmark grumbliesmedia.com, where you can find my conservative podcast, Fired Up, which is National Conservative Talk, and Fired Up California, which is all things California. If you're part of our Golden State here, I'm kind of like a brown, black, dark, evil, vile state now. But check that podcast out. Also check out the Red, White, and Rude, where I talk about politics being downstream of culture. So I talk about movies, music, entertainment in general, and how it intermixes with politics. And you always have my sports show here. So you can find those also on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Once again, my friends, thank you for tuning in. And I will work on my closing. It's terrible. This week, at least. Anyway, I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board. And until next week, my friends, enjoy your sports.